Amen. Well, exactly this time last year, we were giving thanks because the Jericho Six were very close to welcoming the people that they had been preparing, and we as a church had been preparing for quite a while, and that's the Barsoomian family. And so we thought that it would be appropriate on this Thanksgiving, which is their first Canadian Thanksgiving, to spend some time reflecting and giving thanks for that. So I'm going to invite some of the Jericho Six up. I'm going to invite Tyler and Walter, Nigel, come on up. And they're going to share a bit of their story. And so it's very male-centric.
There were women involved in this.
Okay, well, so I'll start with Tyler. Tyler, tell us who all was part of Jericho 6 and how. Remind us who's all a part of that, including your wives, because that you'd be in trouble if you don't. And then how did you guys get to be a team?
Well, the Chuas, the Gorlitzes, the Schachters, juniors. We also have the Terpstras, Keith and Melissa Reed, and who am I forgetting? Smits, Lisa and Andrew Smit. And it seems so long ago now, I don't actually recall how we all came to be. I guess the refugee crisis was front and center in the media, and a group of us kind of felt like we should be doing something about that, and I'm not sure if it was an email chain or a Facebook chain or discussion that started at the church here, but somehow the six of us landed together and decided we were going to pursue that and see what we could do.
So other than just kind of happened, how did you know, Walter? How did you know that, you know what, this is something that Sheila and I and our kids, we need to be involved?
Yeah, well, I remember it was actually Nigel who stepped forward and said, we want to form a group. And this was shortly after the Michael Curdy film had been, or the story about Michael Curdy had been on the news. And so I immediately resisted because I said, oh, this is just a play on my emotions, and I'm a guy who spends a lot of time in my head. And it took about a month of just coming back to it over and over again. And eventually the podcasts I was listening to, they were all talking around the same sort of thing, primarily talking about the Christian faith is more than just living it, which is orthodoxy. It's about actually living it out. It's putting our feet on the ground, which they referred to as orthopraxy. And I just said, I mean, you look at the story of the Good Samaritan, and he stepped out of his comfort zone, and he did something for someone. And the other thing that kept coming back was in Matthew 24, when Jesus is giving or is telling the parable of the sheep and the goats, it's not what they believed, it's what they did that they were judged by. And so I'm going, So I had to get out of my chair and make a difference. So it was literally the last Sunday, and Nigel gave one more announcement. We're looking for one more family, and Sheila and I had been talking about it, and I went back, and Nigel said, oh, well, the Terpstras said they would, but we can use six. And I think that was a God thing, because for five families, it would have been enough to sponsor four people. And so when we came along, it worked out well. So I don't think I'm a God thing. I think it was a God thing.
You are a God thing. You are. Nigel, tell us how this has impacted your family and changed you guys in the last year.
Well, I think for us, it's been quite an emotional journey. There's a lot of ups and downs. There's a lot of rejoicing, and there's a lot of frustrations, and there's a lot of time that it took out, and it was difficult also making sure I had spent time with Naomi and Sienna, and it was getting to know the Barsoomians, and there's another family that we support too. It's quite surreal because the things that are so commonplace that they've had to go through, if one of those events happened in our lives, I'd probably be in counseling for months. And I mean, legitimately so, but I think they just don't have time. And the things that happen, like kidnappings, torture, missing families, threats, it's all commonplace. Well, there's another family that we know, and they don't know where their parents are. And it's just, that's insane. Like, I'd be emailing, calling all of you, have you seen my parents, that kind of things, right? And it's just, it's made me realize the extent of privilege I have. I don't have to worry about peace, I don't have to worry about money, I don't have to worry about so many things. And it's just, it's insane. And it's really been great to get to know new friends. And it's also great to see, like, it's been really neat to see that the family that is the church. I managed to see a lot of love displayed both in and outside of the church. And I got to meet some people through other churches, just randomly through different networks. Like, hey, I'd like to help. Great. Met a guy named Matt from Abbotsford. Goes to a church there. I don't remember which one. But overall, it seemed like when it came down to the rubber hitting the road and people willing to do something that comes at their expense and actually physically and emotionally and financially supporting, it seemed to come from the body of Christ. And I was really quite touched by that. Love exists in all sorts of ways, but that really struck me that when it came down to helping, whether it's from this church, whether it's from other churches, it seemed like the people, believers, seemed to be the ones that actually really got together and helped this cause the most.
So I'll ask this to open for any of you guys. So in practical ways, day-to-day stuff, has this process changed your life? Like, is there anything that you do differently today as you live than you weren't doing before?
Well, and it ties in with Thanksgiving as well for me. I mean, I ride my bike and the bus and SkyTrain to work, and if I had missed a bus or, why is that SkyTrain? I would get really angry before, and now I'm going, I have a bus system that works. I have roads that I can ride my bike on. I haven't had a flat. I mean, if I was riding a bike over there, I might be hit by some sniper or an IED. I can come home to my home, and except for on a rare occasion where Benjamin is cooking, I'm pretty sure it's going to be standing. And so it's all things, you know, that we take for granted. And having seen other refugees and they're sharing stories, they show photos, this is what convinced me to move. And I see a photo where the side of a building is blown off. I don't know what I would do.
Yeah, absolutely. The Barsoomians are sitting there. Do you guys have any words of blessing or as you reflect back over the last year that you would want to pass on to them?
I just say this sounds so cliched, but we start out to want to help somebody else, but of course we have all benefited so greatly from getting to know you, help you get settled in Canada as well. It's been such a rewarding experience. I know we heard all sorts of uncertainty about how it can play out with different families and challenges, and yeah, you guys, it's been, I guess, a textbook dream and how things could go right, I would say. So it's been really great to get to know your family, and we want to, obviously, your year in Canada, we're about to celebrate, but we're going to continue to build into your lives and relationship and bless you as a family. So we're so happy that you're here with us.
So I can't talk really too much, but I would like to say some words to the great SIX sponsorship group. We just came here without, like, with nothing. We didn't have anything, and actually, I didn't know, like, what would be here, like, what would we do, because we don't have any money or any place to live. But I'm thankful to God that God gave us such a great opportunity to meet you all. I'm thankful. And they provide us with a safe place to live. They provide us food. They provide us clothes to wear and everything. And now we have, like, old jobs, and we have a safe place to live. We are studying. We are going to schools and universities. So I'm really thankful to you. And also the church and MCC too. And I pray for my other friends that are there, that maybe God can give us, give them some other opportunities to just get rid of that bad situations and live in a safe place. Thanks.
Yeah. We just pray blessing on you guys continuously. You guys remind me of my story. I'm first generation in my family. My parents came in the mid to late 60s from South America with two kids and two suitcases, so you know what that's like. And yet, now because of that, I have the life that I have and my kids, and you will know that in a generation from now as well. And so pray blessing on you, and we pray that God continues to use you to bring opportunity to share his blessing with others as well. Now, out of entering into that relationship, you mentioned before, and I'm not going to try to butcher their name, but the government-assisted family, you stepped out and said, hey, is there more we can do? Just quickly remind us of that as well, because as a church, we were helping there as well.
Yeah, there was actually more, Lauren. I didn't actually seek out another more help, but in doing this, Lauren came to me and said, hey, listen, I know you guys are trying to get, at the time, the Barcelonians weren't, it was taking a long time, government, to get them here, and they said, there's another family, they've been through torture, they've been relocated, he's got PTSD, a whole bunch of stuff, and they're already here. Can you help them? And I said, sure. Daryl and Jody and Matt from Abbotsford, we've been, and many of you actually, have been helping that family, and that's where the whole, like, helps came in, just seeing all you guys, just I'd random emails, hey, we have a dining table. Do any of the families need it? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. And they're going to move. Can anybody help? And people came and people showed up. And yeah, we're still subsidizing them for another year of rental. And yeah, it's quite an interesting journey. They've had a few landlords that have tried to take advantage of them, actually. It's made me really angry, but that's part of the ups and downs. Yeah, I don't know what more to say.
Remind us, because I'll totally butcher their last name.
Their last name is Aldaye, A-L-D-Y-A-E-E.
It's got a lot of syllables. So continue to pray for them as well. And the story doesn't end there, even though Nigel and Walter, if you want, you can grab a seat if you want. Or the story doesn't end there. The story continues. Like, it's amazing how when you step into one thing, God uses that and the story, he continues. And so we now have the Jericho Six that we just talked about. We have the Aldaye family. But we also now have the Jericho Four. And Tyler's going to tell us a little bit about the Jericho Four.
Who is the Jericho Four?
Right. Okay, so it's half of the Jericho Six, the Schachters, the Reeds, and the Terpstras again, and then Dave and Tammy Smethers joined up with us as well, because we became aware of another opportunity, if you will, family in need, that we wanted to try and invest in and bring as well. So we recruited for that, and the Smethers signed up. So there's the four.
Now, this story has a lot of ups and downs. It had a very significant down, and then that got turned around. So tell us a little bit about that. Tell us who the family is, and tell us especially what's been happening just recently.
So the family is Vartini's boyfriend and his parents, who were also in Syria and fled when the conflict erupted beyond safe levels. So they're in Armenia right now, right? And it's a tough situation there. Work is scarce, resources are scarce, so they're surviving, but it's not sustainable indefinitely. So they had applied for refugee status. I'm not sure how all the inner workings of it work, but we agreed that we would sponsor them as a family to come to Canada. And then we know that process takes a long time. So we'd applied for them to be approved in 2017 at the beginning of this year. I guess it was about 2 weeks ago we received notice that they would not make it this year. The government has pulled their foot off the pedal now that it's no longer an election year and it's no longer all over the media. So there's still tons and tons of need out there, but it's slowed down to a trickle. So we received notice that Hagop's family would not be on the 2017 list for next year. And then, you know, we kind of accepted that. We weren't really expecting them to be approved on the list, but nonetheless, it was disappointing, and I'm sure for Vartani and her Hagop's family as well, to be knowing uncertainty, I guess, not knowing when and if it would happen. And then it was only a couple days later that we received another call that somebody that was on the list had fallen off, I guess, backed out, and Hagop's family was in because our paperwork was all done and ready and waiting, and the spot freed up, so now they're on the list. So it's not going to happen, you know, in the next few weeks. It's still going to be maybe next year, it might be 2019, but they are approved, and now we've got the tasks ahead of us, I guess. So.
Yeah, so it's an amazing story, just hearing, hey, the door's closed, and just, you know, talking about that and accepting that, and then the Lord saying, well, man has closed the door, but I'm going to open it up. And so that's a wonderful thing. And like you said, it is probably still, could be next year, it could be 2 years. There's still fundraising and all that kind of stuff that needs to take place. How can we as a church come alongside Jericho 4 and help out? Like, what do we do to keep this on our radar as well?
Well, first and foremost would be prayer. Keep our group in your prayers. Keep Hagop and his family in your prayers. Keep the process in your prayers, that it would go smoothly and efficiently, and, of course, as quickly as possible, we would like. Our initial task right now is fundraising. We have until the end of the year to come up with the bulk of our funds. So the four families, we're looking to raise $25,000 for that, which I'm faithful. I think that's achievable goal. And then for a while, things will die down. So basically, we sit and wait until we get word. And much like it was with the Barsoomians, we were waiting and waiting. And it was supposed to be February of 2016 and didn't hear anything. And months go by. And then all of a sudden, we get, like, I don't even know if it was 2 weeks' notice. Like, okay, your family's coming. Get ready. So then it's all hands on deck, right? And that's where you as a community, I won't call on you for that now, but we will call on you for that. And you rose to the challenge last time, and you helped set up the space and equip it with furniture and just everything that was needed to help with a smooth transition. So we will be calling on you for that again. And if you are interested in learning more about that and how you can help and contribute, I would just ask that you seek out Dave and Tammy or Lindsay and myself, and we can share a little more and connect you with that.
That's awesome. That's great. Another way that we're going to participate as a church is, you guys can do this during Brad's message. It's okay. It's an epic Sunday. There's a table over there on the side, and we're going to put together a prayer book for Hagop and his family that we will be able to present to them when they finally arrive. And so, if you make your way over to that table there, on one side, there's on the right side, there's a sort of an adult station side, and you can take a piece of paper and you can simply write out a prayer that on October 8th, 2017, we met you via Tyler and the Jericho 4, and this is what we've been praying or are praying for you about. And then on the kids' side, which is on the left, they can take one of the sheets and color it and that, and then there's a basket. You can put it in there, or if you end up taking it home and finishing it, you can bring it back to the Welcome Center. And we will put together, Jenna and the kids at the Ridge will put together a prayer book. And that will be one of the things that will, so when they come, they will know that this community has already been helping already in that sense, assisting in the heavenlies, and whether it takes a year or whether they call next month, or that probably won't happen, but if it does, we'll be ready. We'll be ready. So continue to think of that as you get into doing your spring cleaning in next spring, and you're like, oh, you know, this table, we don't really need it anymore. Let's put it out for Oh, keep it. Maybe we'll use it in the new home. Who knows? Stuff like that. Talk to Lindsay and Tyler and Dave and Tammy and that.